Corporal Hitler's Pistol, written by Tom Keneally and read by David Tredinnick. On Friday afternoons, Flo Honeywood, wife of the eminent master builder Burley Honeywood, was required to go forth, her body bathed, her face powdered and rouged, her figure, which was not that of an old lady, enhanced by a corset ordered from Sydney. A secret not shared with the women who sold such things in Barsby's store in Smith Street. She wore, too, a best umber cloche hat bought at Anthony Horden's in Sydney, and she went out in her innocence as a woman ordained to meet and talk with the august of the river, the big people from the Big Acres from Taruka northwards. The wife of Dr. McVicar, the wife of the solicitor, Sherry, the aged spouse of the other lawyer, Cattleford, the wife and eldest daughter of Colopy, the Shire President. It was essential that Flo be on Smith and Belgrave streets, pausing to speak, to discuss the Sydney schools to which they would send and had sent their children, the forthcoming tennis weekends at the homesteads up along the river, how their husbands were, and whether the frock salons along Belgrave Street had anything worth buying before each of them made their twice-yearly raid on Sydney. Mrs. Dunster had a daughter in Paris, learning to be an artist. If she had a daughter on the moon, it could not be more astonishing. Mrs. Dunster must be heard from. There was much talking to do with that. Mrs. Dunster admitted she did not understand what her daughter was learning. It was all described in letters, but in terms which evaded the limits of a town like this.
"Half the time I don't know what she's telling me,"
Mrs. Dunster very happily admitted. But what a thing for a girl from here. A Maclay girl. Paris. Men had been sent, of course, to France in the Great War, but for someone to experience it with an artist's eye, that was exceptional and, indeed, without precedent. Kempsey had suited Flo, till she saw the boy. She had a sense until then that it was her appointed place in the dispensations and empires of man. The blot on Friday afternoons these days was the number of travelling men in old fragments of suits who had been able to pick up food ration tickets at the police station, as long as the previous stamp in their ration books showed they had travelled more than 50 miles since the last week. They looked battered, dispirited, and carried a swag wrapped up in a blanket. But Friday was a day they could rest before moving on to the next town, to be replaced next week by another tribe of the poor who lacked jobs.